welcome to a new episode of Design Cafe, a podcast where we have mindful, candid conversations for designers in tech. This season, we're going to cover a lot of difficult but important topics like the challenges of career growth, toxicity at work, mental health, and diversity, equity, and inclusion. These are topics that maybe don't get talked about as often as we like, but they no less impact us all as designers. I'm your co-host, Susan.
And I'm your co-host, Sandrine.
If you like our podcast, please follow and rate us on your podcast platform. You can follow us on Twitter, where we are at Design Cafe, and LinkedIn, where we are Design Cafe. Our website is designcafe.com, which includes a link to our Buy Me a Coffee page as well, in case you want to buy us a coffee to help support our podcast. This week, we're going to talk about poorly delivered feedback. So it could be feedback that is positive or negative and probably very good and helpful feedback, but delivered in a very poor way. But it could also be bad feedback delivered in a bad way. Basically, we're talking about, you know, those instances and episodes you'll come across as a designer where you receive feedback and you don't know how to react to it because you just, you know, it's either the tone is weird or you don't know what it means, or you start wondering if this person's being a jerk, or, you know, all those situations where you feel like you're not sure how to handle the incoming feedback. So Sandrine, maybe we can start with thinking about when you receive feedback as a designer, how do you define and recognize feedback that is helpful and feedback that is not so helpful, and what do you do with it?
Okay, so I think helpful feedback for me is feedback that is delivered by someone who has a similar expertise to me, or at least some kind of expert knowledge into an area where my project or my work could definitely be benefiting from their perspective. So it could be a fellow designer, it could be a stakeholder who has a particular skill set, for example, someone from commercial. They might be able to really give me interesting feedback on, from a commercial point of view, basically. So that person has to have some kind of expertise that either I share with them or that I don't have. It has to be timely, so it cannot come at the wrong time. So I can't make use of feedback that is given to me at a point where I can't really apply it, or at a point where it's going to be a blocker or disrupt things. Or feedback that is not focusing on the right stage of where the project is at. So, for example, if I'm at a delivery stage, whilst I appreciate feedback on the research, for example, and how we've angled on the problem, it's not really helpful because it's not really helping me getting feedback on my end solution that I'm about to deliver to my engineers, for example. So I think these two are really, really essential to me to make something helpful. And then I think beyond that, the way it's formulated is also very important. So helpful feedback often is, it can be turned as a question. So, you know, someone pointed asking me why did I make that decision, for example, to help me reflect on why I made that decision particularly, for example. And then it can open up a discussion on X thing. It could be helping me spotting details, for example, that I've missed. Much more narrowed down. But often it's what it should not be from my perspective is a list of things that I could have or should have done instead. So something that is very commending and restrictive. So basically the person kind of being like, well, if I had done it my way, this is what I would have done instead.
Oh, I hate those.
Yeah. So it For me, it should be delivered on like, okay, let me try to understand your approach and let me also help you see what I've spotted on this approach that could make it better. So for me, that's what makes feedback helpful. So it's a very long answer, but it's kind of how, that's how I determine whether feedback is helpful or not. So yeah, so the level of expertise of the person, the timing of it, and then the way they structure the delivery of that feedback.
If I can add to that, it's a bit of an addition to your reflection on the expertise of the person as well. So it may be in addition to expertise, it's also important for me anyway that the person giving me feedback has the correct and relevant context, because they might well be, you know, someone who's my seniority or higher in design, or they might be a stakeholder on the product or the project. But if they don't have the right context for what they're looking at, then the feedback might not always be relevant. And it goes into, for example, what you say about if you're working on something in delivery mode and they're giving feedback on the research side of it. It's just like that's the wrong context for this feedback. So it's really important it's also, I suppose, my job as a designer to frame the feedback session or frame the opening up to feedback with the correct context, so I make it clear like what the context is. But at the same time, I sometimes feel like some people are very quick to jump to give feedback without trying to understand the context, and that frustrates me. I worked in a place that had a really cool and interesting way of giving design critique feedback, where our sessions of design critique were very structured. I won't go into detail of the rest of the session, but we would always start each round of feedback from each designer with a round of clarifying questions. So everyone would kind of think of any clarifying questions, any assumptions they had, or anything that was unclear, and ask those clarifying questions first before jumping into reacting to the design or reacting to the work. And that little thing I've carried in with me to a lot of other situations and settings where I'm being presented with something to give feedback on, and I feel like I sort of know what's happening, but I'm not 100%, so I'm going to just clarify and ask clarifying questions. And it helps the other people in the room as well, if there are other people there, to kind of get on the same page. And, you know, when you're presented with something new that you haven't seen before, everyone probably has their own impression of what it is and slightly different context. So it's a good kind of baselining exercise to do, to do a round of clarifying questions. Like what's, you know, is anything unclear here? Or the questions could just be, you know, just so I understand, are you trying to get feedback on XYZ? You know, that kind of shared context setting bit, I think, is very important.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely, definitely essential. I think often when people don't have enough context, they will tend to give you feedback that either is kind of common sense that you've already thought about, or sometimes they will bring up ideas or, opinions that you've kind of already gone through and discarded because they were either just not an option because of your constraints and context, or there's something that you've planned to do at a later stage or something like that. And I think that's often when you start to just get into a discussion that is not always really helpful because it doesn't help you move forward in your current stage of the project. So yeah. I was wondering actually, Susan, do you have examples of poorly delivered feedback that you've had? And how did you, I guess, swap it around? Or what did you do in that situation?
Yeah, maybe this is a bit subjective, what you consider poorly delivered feedback or not. I mean, there are commonalities, but I really dislike and don't know what to do with feedback, which is very much just someone giving their personal opinion and then not substantiating it. So, and usually, I'm not trying to point fingers, but usually this feedback has the "in my opinion" attached to it. So kind of like, "in my opinion, this doesn't work," or "in my opinion, this is too much content," or "in my opinion, this needs to this needs to be different. I don't know. It, you know, when someone just gives their opinion, but they don't explain why, or they try to explain why, but
they try to explain why, but don't get anywhere.
Yeah. They don't get anywhere because their feedback isn't based on user insights or, for example, oh, this component needs to be consistent with this other component in the design system or some technical aspect. It is purely their subjective opinion. And I wonder, I don't know if many other people think of this as poorly delivered feedback, but I think I don't like this, or, you know, like very subjective personal opinions types of feedback isn't really feedback, or I struggle to handle it very well. It's quite an easy fix to deal with those situations for me. I just ask them, you know, what do you mean? Or can you elaborate on that? Or why is this a problem? How do we know that this problem exists? So kind of try and help them help me understand where their feedback is coming from. Most of the time, honestly, most of the time it just ends up with, oh, I don't know, maybe it's just my opinion is what they come back with. So it sort of like helps them poke hole in their logic as well. So that's an easy example of poorly delivered feedback and how to deal with it. Maybe other people have similar experiences.
Yeah. How do you make the... Do you think there's a difference in how feedback should be delivered depending on whether it's feedback on a project? So I guess your work, like directly, like, you know, directly linked to a particular project and delivery versus feedback that is more about you as a as an individual. So then I guess that's where you're starting to get into a dangerous territory around criticism towards you as an individual. But then I think we do often get feedback regarding our performance, and that's touching more around our hard skills and soft skills. And obviously we will get some relevant examples. Usually if the feedback is helpful, it will come with examples around how we've demonstrated those hard skills, for example, with concrete examples that can be attached to a project. But I find that level, that feedback is usually very different, and it can sometimes feel a bit more subjective if it's not delivered in the right way.
Yeah. So sometimes I do feel like I get feedback delivered in such a way as so that it appears as if it's feedback on my work, but actually it's a feedback on me as a person. That's very frustrating when it's things like, for example, how do I think of an example? So I have a tendency to quote unquote overthink things when I design. That can be, to some people who don't like my style of designing, my way of kind of exploring lots of different flows and exploring lots of opportunities and exploring lots of potential edge cases and thinking both MVP but also beyond MVP, whatever MVP means, and, you know, kind of stretching it from, oh, this is the most practical, simplest thing we can ship, but if we stretch it, how far can we stretch this design piece to, like, way beyond way beyond MVP. And maybe it's my mistake. Sometimes I am too transparent in my messy design process, and I kind of share that. And maybe am I being a woman who's like very apologetic now? I don't know. But sometimes maybe I'm a bit, maybe this goes back to my point about framing the context properly. Maybe I don't give appropriate context. So I kind of share my whole process in all its mess and all its kind of tangents and things. And often I get feedback, which is very, sometimes quite hurtful, to be honest, when people tell me, like, Susan, you're just totally overthinking this. You're totally overcomplicating this. And it's so obvious what we need to do. The obvious thing to do is this one little thing. Like, why are you totally overthinking it? And it sort of makes me feel like, I don't know, it makes me feel like it goes a bit too much into my personality when actually it's my process. And it's really hard to know, is it my personality being attacked now, or are they criticizing my process? It could be that they're criticizing my process, which is fair enough, but sometimes it also feels like they're criticizing my personality. So I don't think it's Actually, as I'm talking through this, I don't think it's either or. I don't think it's like either their feedback is on me as a person or it's not. It's more around, there are lots of nuances around this. I am going to bring some of my personality into my design process. It's quite hard not to. They might have a valid point in terms of that my process is a bit messy and a bit impractical sometimes. And sometimes, you know, we just need to move a bit faster and don't have time to be very indulgent with design. That's very valid feedback. But there's something in the phrasing of, Susan, you're overthinking this, or you're overcomplicating this, that grates at me and makes me feel like my personality is being attacked.
It's a very negative turn of sentence, I guess. Interestingly, I've received similar feedback, although I feel like my manager has done a better job at helping me frame it more as an opportunity. And I think that's where, for me, the biggest difference is that helpful feedback for me usually feels empowering, whilst unhelpful feedback is actually very disheartening. So when I have good feedback sessions, I actually usually feel very motivated. I'm like, okay, got a bunch of feedback, whether coming out of a design critique or a session with like my manager. Usually, if I got good feedback, I feel motivated to try new things. So, you know, if it's after a critique, I'll be like, okay, I've got a bunch of new ways to improve this solution, and I'm going to just go and work through those details. Or if it's more around hard skills, soft skills on my process, then I'm like, okay, let's see how I can, you know, turn things around and try this. And often it's because the feedback has been given in a way where, I don't know, they kind of frame it around, okay, so this is how you've approached this thing. If you were to consider this different perspective or approach, you might achieve that result. And that will help you be more impactful. That will help you see a different viewpoint on your process, but whatever it is. And that's actually a lot more encouraging. And it also, for me, tickles my curiosity around, okay, I can give this a go. So for me, for example, when I've indulged too much in the discovery stage, my manager helped me kind of, she was kind of like, okay, I think it might be helpful for you to reflect a bit on the amount of efforts you put into your discovery versus the amount of impact you think your delivery is actually going to drive. And if you feel like you've put too much effort in discovery and actually your delivery was quite small, then you can see that the ratio is not quite balanced. And, you know, it's a totally fair piece of feedback. And it helps me now see, okay, where can I speed things up sometimes on some aspects, and where I don't need to like go really deep just yet into a particular problem. But I don't know, it's like it's a way of framing things. Like, she could have come to me and be like, yeah, you totally overthink this piece, and we didn't need that much research on this. But it's not helpful to tell me that we didn't need research on something, because I mean, like, it's not, I don't know how to take that away and then apply it in the future. It's not as applicable, basically. So for me, good feedback is often, it needs to be actionable, and it needs to have relevant examples and ways for me to see a measure of progress as well in the future.
Yeah, what you say there makes me really think about how important it is for me when thinking about feedback, that the person giving feedback has good intentions. Not just good intentions, sorry, but that the reason they're giving feedback is that they want either you as a designer to do better and succeed, or they want the work to be better. And so feedback comes from an intentional place like that. They'll very often frame the feedback more in an open way, an opportunistic way, like what are some opportunities to make this work better? Whereas if the feedback comes from a place of them posturing themselves or them just being frustrated, then maybe that's when the feedback comes out as sounding more like personal attacks, even though they don't mean to do that. Because when you say things like, you're overthinking this, or whatever, then like like we're just mentioned, like what are we supposed to do with that piece of feedback? It doesn't give me any opportunity to do better as a designer apart from think less. Like it's not practical. It's not practical feedback. But I think also a lot of it comes down to, for me, that there's been such a heavy skew for us as designers in how to handle feedback in terms of developing our careers. Like we're being told a lot or trained a lot in handling feedback, doing design critiques, doing design reviews, and kind of becoming better at taking feedback and not taking it personally and all that stuff. But I feel like there's less emphasis on training designers and other people in our industry on how to give feedback effectively. There are two sides of it. And it really depends, for me, in the context of my career, it has just really depended on the culture of where I've worked. So I've worked in companies that were incredibly passionate and explicit about having a feedback culture. And there we really learned how to give feedback well. And I worked in places that didn't have that feedback culture. And that was just, you know, like just a complete pandemonium of just all kinds of people just saying whatever they wanted. So I think receiving feedback well is a skill, but giving feedback well is also a skill.
I agree. I think the culture is a big one. I mean, usually in healthy cultures, actually, you would have a conversation around what is the best way to critique each other's work, and you would have guidelines. And normally the facilitator needs to make sure that these things stay in check during the sessions. I have also been working in some places that had a feedback culture per se, and it was actually almost like an open invitation for people to sometimes just kind of go in as well on others. So I think, as you said, like having boundaries and guidelines around what is actually considered feedback and what isn't is also very important.
Another part of how to give feedback well for me, and I don't know if, again, this is just me or if you agree, but for me, giving feedback well really depends on knowing the person you're giving feedback to. And that doesn't necessarily mean on, like, you know, a personal level, that your friends or whatever, but knowing that different types of people will handle different types of feedback in different ways. And that could be things like their personality. Some people can handle harsher, more direct feedback better, and other people maybe need to be given feedback in a more packaged way. Culture plays a huge role. I can't remember what I was reading, or maybe I was listening to a podcast. Anyway, it was talking about how I'm reading a book. Besides the point what the book is about. Anyway, it talks about this British couple who moved to Amsterdam and started working in Amsterdam, and they just, like, the types of feedback they got there was sitting in meetings and a Dutch colleague saying, "I don't like this, do something else," or "This doesn't work, this is quite bad," or, you know, very, very direct feedback. But that's part of the culture in the Netherlands, or that's how you just, you know, that's how you communicate in a very direct way in the Netherlands. And this British couple who moved there was just kind of completely flabbergasted. It was a huge culture shock for them. So culture plays a role in how the recipient receives feedback as well. I think I'm probably, because I've lived in the UK for so long, I'm very conscious when I'm giving feedback to someone who's British that I don't bring my Northern Europeanness too much into it. And whereas I've worked in a Northern European company, and I could be more Northern European in how I give feedback. And also, you know, sometimes this is just natural, but sometimes you have a longer history with some colleagues than others. Maybe you've worked in three different companies together before, or maybe you're closer friends outside of work or whatever, and you have a closer rapport. And so you know them better to be able to give them feedback in a slightly different way, as opposed to, for example, someone who's only joined the company 2 weeks ago and are still finding their feet. So it's, you know, it's that's also part of kind of just gauging who is this person I'm giving feedback to? What do I know about them? And if you don't know that much about them, then maybe it's better to take more of a, not a neutral stance of giving feedback, but kind of rein in a bit more on whatever is your most direct way of giving feedback.
Yeah, the cultural aspect is quite big, I think. I mean, especially in the tech sector, we tend to have quite a diverse workforce. So I think we all come from different countries or different cultural backgrounds. And yeah, I think sometimes we don't all communicate the same way. As you said, in the rest of Europe, we tend to be a bit more direct, I think, in the way we talk about work. Like, I think in France, where I'm from, it's more, we have less issues calling out about work, I think, than people may do in the UK, where it's more about, I guess, preserving feelings or the relationship. So yeah, although that also can be different depending on the culture in each workplace too. But I do think it's important sometimes to reflect on, yeah, as you said, the other individual, what's the best way to give them that feedback so they're in the best position to listen to it. I think the issue is that often when we give feedback, I think that maybe that's a personal experience, but I feel like often we are more in a intention of voicing our opinion as opposed to helping out the other person. So therefore, it's a very one way interaction in some sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm not saying obviously we all have bad intention when we're giving feedback, but I feel like often, yeah, when we give feedback, it's to voice an opinion that we have on someone's work or on something in particular, and we often don't particularly reflect on what is a way I could help this person improve. And I guess when you're mentoring someone, maybe you're a lot more into that attitude of figuring out, okay, my mentee is talking to me about their context and the issues they're facing. How can I help them get over that line? Or how can I help them make an impact? So I guess maybe you're reflecting a bit more on the way you're delivering that feedback because you're a bit more conscious that it's to help someone else. So maybe we should take that attitude a bit more, actually, when we, like, taking the mental hat a bit more almost when we're giving feedback, just to make sure we are considering who's in front of us and what's the best way to deliver that feedback. But also, you could assume as well that in a workplace, you need to learn to accept feedback as well. And therefore, we should each assume that there's good intentions to make the work better as well, so that you can fasten that feedback loop between people. And you don't have to obviously be in fear that you're going to upset others. That also comes from the culture of the workplace too. So yeah.
Yeah, but that is so important though, that like when you give feedback, you need to, sorry, I'm going into rant mode. You need to have the recipients, what's it called? Like you need to have their... you need to wish the best for them, is what you need to try and like want to try and help them and mentor them, as you say, because one of my biggest frustrations and bugbears with like designers giving feedback is when I'm in a meeting and it's so obvious that the person giving feedback is just wanting to say things to like have their voice heard. And maybe it's because they've been told that they need to be more vocal in meetings. I don't know, but like when the point of them saying something and giving feedback isn't to help the person, but just to give their opinion. And then there's this overconfident posturing that I really dislike. I'm sorry, I'm really ranting about this, but I really, really dislike it when someone takes up airtime in a meeting with lots of designers where we're trying to help the designer who's presenting their work. And instead of trying to help the designer, you got this one person who's just trying to like show off or like appear confident or whatever, and kind of putting the spotlight on them. And this is very nuanced. I'm not saying don't give feedback, but when you raise your voice, think about, are you trying to help the person or are you trying to come across in a certain way in front of your peers and kind of just appear knowledgeable or appear opinionated or whatever. Oh, this might be controversial, but it really grates at me when someone gives feedback, not because they're trying to help the person, but because they just want to, they'd like the sound in their own voice.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit of a stereotype of that person in meetings where they would just be the louder person. So I think we've all had a colleague acting a bit like this.
Yes. Speaking of which, though, so we talked about how, you know, feedback might come from a good place, but maybe it's just delivered a bit poorly, maybe because they don't have the right training in how to give feedback, or maybe there are cultural differences. You know, like we said, it could be the same point that is being made, but what person A might be able to deliver the feedback better than person B. Person B might come across as blunt and so on, and person B might need help in knowing how to give feedback. What about person C, who's just an unpleasant person? Like, how do we deal with people who just, one, don't know how to give feedback, and two, can't be helped? Am I being too harsh again?
No, I think they exist. I think there's some people that also don't have the best intentions in the workplace. Like, just like we have people with great intentions. I think sometimes, unfortunately, it's not the case. I think sometimes I don't exactly know how to, I don't have like a blanket advice for dealing with these kind of people because they're very case by case. I think it's always important to reflect on the psychological safety you have with someone when you're getting feedback from them. So, you know, when you're going into a one-to-one or a design critique, do you feel safe in general about, you know, when you're receiving feedback? And usually that would tell you, usually your intuition is quite good at giving you a picture of whether people are here to challenge your work in the right way or not. Obviously, sometimes you may have a bit of way to go to also learn to accept feedback if you're, sometimes that's the case when you're more junior and all of that. But in any case, I feel like your intuition is usually a good radar. I think when you're dealing with an unpleasant person or with someone who does not have the best intentions, I think what is hard is that, going back to the subjectiveness of the feedback, is that it's often, there's often not a lot behind it. And sometimes it can be quite hurtful feedback, or just feedback that leaves you being like, cool, I really don't know what to do with this. And even when you prompt them a little bit more, they just can't really give you examples or actual, yeah, they can't give you actual examples of how this thing happened. I don't know, it's a really hard one. So what are you supposed to do with this? Because basically you got supposedly a piece of feedback, but you don't have examples of how you've demonstrated this. And you're not also given, a way forward as to what you can do differently, because you don't actually even really know what you've done in the first place, for example. And I find this is really hard when you get into that situation. I've seen some mentees coming to me with these kind of issues sometimes where they don't really know, yeah, how they're supposed to take this on board and do better. And actually sometimes it might not even be about them, but that person decided to make it about them. So it's a really difficult situation. I don't know if you've personally experienced that. But yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced it. I think when I was more junior, it was hard, much, much harder to take feedback from, let's call them, unpleasant people. Because, you know, there's something about when you present your work, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position, even though it's a professional context and you're there to discuss the work. At least for me, when I was less experienced, I also felt more vulnerable, because especially if I care about the work and I am passionate about it, which I hopefully am most of the time, then you do put a bit of yourself into it, even though it shouldn't be personal. You can't help it, it's human, and you do feel like you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position. So that's, for me, it's a muscle I've had to train a lot over the years, and I now, if I receive feedback from unpleasant people, I brush it off a lot more easily. I think I do two things now. One, if I receive that feedback from an unpleasant person, number one is I do try to see if there's anything I can use from that feedback, like you alluded to. Like, is there a way for me to use this feedback? And if not, then I just sort of politely thank them for the feedback and don't engage further, because... And this is based on personality again. If I engage further and I try to probe into why, where their feedback is coming from, and they can't say why, then I just get frustrated. And me getting frustrated in a setting like this isn't constructive or helpful either. So it's, for me, it's best to just keep politely thank them for the feedback and just leave it at that. Go to the next person. But when that's again, something that's taken me a while to get to, and what helped me through it in my earlier years was to find confidants and people I developed a close relationship to at work and just vent, to be honest. It just helps to express your frustrations and to admit that things are challenging, and when people give you feedback in a shitty way, it's hard to take, and it's it also helps to hear that other people might have had those instances from, you know, other people before, so you feel a bit less alone. Because sometimes you can feel a bit, or for me, sometimes I used to feel a bit like, equipped enough to work as a designer if I can't handle feedback. And so it helps to hear someone say, you know what, sometimes the person giving you feedback is a dick. Or, you know, so like that happens. Like, you know, sometimes you'll get bad feedback and you'll have to process it and take it on and develop it and see what you can do with it. Other times you'll get feedback from people who don't have you in the best intentions. And yeah, that sucks, but... Yeah,
I agree. I think sometimes I've seen, and sometimes it's not even something that happens during, I found that often when things happen during design critique, the feedback is quite targeted towards a particular part of your project. So I feel like that's not often where the heartful feedback comes from. I feel like it more often comes up through performance types of feedback and that sort of things. But I don't know, I feel like sometimes people give feedback about a person because they wish that person was more like they would wish that person to be, if that makes sense. So it's like, oh, I wish that person was more like this, so I'm gonna give them feedback to tell them how far they are from being that way. And I feel like sometimes it's like people projecting an image of what you should be, as opposed to reflecting on what person you are and how you can and how you are doing based on who you are and where your strengths are and whether you're actually tapping into your potential and whether there's any untapped potential and whether there's obviously any big gap in performance, because sometimes that does happen and it's helpful when it's obviously pointed to. But usually when you look at it that way, it's more around, okay, here's this person and here's how we can unlock that person to reach their best self. Not the best version I see of that person, but more the best version they see of themselves. How can we help them get there? It's like, I don't know. For me, there's a nuance there. And I find that sometimes people that, let's qualify them as unpleasant in the workplace, and who don't have the best intentions because they don't actually care about you as a person. They only care about what you could be for them. Then they might start giving you that kind of feedback. And I find that really unhelpful. And that's when it can really get into the hurtful territory as well. So I think it's really important to put a step back sometimes and reflect on what that person is like, and also challenge that feedback of being like, is this what this person is recommending, something that I am interested in growing towards? Is this feedback really applicable? And, you know, if you're not sure about the feedback of someone, you're totally allowed to also get a second opinion on it from someone else that you trust maybe a little bit more. So if you trust a colleague that you've been working with very well, and you know you can, you know, trust their opinion of you because they work with you for quite a bit and you have a good collaboration, you can go to them and be like, hey, I've heard this feedback. I've received this feedback from this person, and ask them for feedback. Actually, to ask if they have experienced similar things with you or not, and try to gauge, I guess. And that can be kind of helpful to sound check what you hear from others, and not feel like you're going completely crazy sometimes. And then if there is indeed an issue, then you would tend to hear the similar feedback across different people anyway. So that might be a helpful technique.
Yeah, there's this saying in feedback circles, if there's such a thing as feedback circles. There are books on how to give feedback. There's this saying that feedback is a gift, which I agree with, but kind of extending that feedback is a gift, but it doesn't mean that you need to accept, like you should be open to receiving gifts, but you shouldn't feel obliged to take on all of those gifts. So I don't know if obligation is the right word, but I've at least personally feel like if I'm in a designer setting or a work setting, and we're in a setting where we're giving feedback, whether it's performance feedback or design critiques or what have you, I have an obligation to listen to the feedback, no matter how pleasant or unpleasant it is. But I don't have an obligation to absorb that feedback and act on it. Like it's, I should have the autonomy and the choice, not free choice, but you know, I should have the autonomy to absorb the feedback and or choose how to respond to the feedback is what I'm trying to get at. And for example, what you're saying about, you know, kind of going to other people and get their feedback on the same issue and kind of comparing and contrasting almost, or kind of having a more holistic view rather than focusing on one person's feedback is quite a good point. On the performance feedback thing that you're talking about, you know, when sometimes it feels like people are giving feedback on you as the person they hope or they kind of wish you to be, or like this other person, this aspirational person, I don't know, you know what I mean. It makes me also think about when you're in performance feedback settings and you receive feedback that focuses on your weaknesses rather than your strengths. I think good feedback in performance feedback sessions usually come from a person who spots your strengths, spots where you're good and where you have opportunity to develop those strengths, and they focus their feedback on how you can develop your strengths better. And then on the flip side of that, I very often feel like suboptimal performance feedback comes from people who just focus so much on your weaknesses, as if you'll become a more well-rounded person if you somehow automatically fix your weaknesses, even though your weaknesses might be things you can't do much about. I think maybe there are different philosophies to this, but I'm of the philosophy that it's you perform better and you become better by dialing up your strengths rather than trying to fix your weaknesses. So yeah, my point is just that, you know, sometimes you get performance feedback from people who are just focusing on your weaknesses, and then again, you're in the situation of like, well, those are my weaknesses. Like I have strengths and weaknesses. Like what am I, like what should I do with my weaknesses? And that can be frustrating as well when all your performance feedback is on your weaknesses.
Yes, I agree. Sometimes it almost feels like people are trying to get back at you for something. On the saying of feedback is a gift, I agree with it. I agree if feedback is given from a place of, if people do it to give, but sometimes people do it to take, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so I think, yes, it's a gift when it's coming from the right place. And sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it's poison gift. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's a bit like what I was talking about earlier, that feedback is given not to give, but to take up space and to just have your opinion heard in a room or posturing or what have you. And yeah, but then it's not, is it real feedback then? Because then it's more around that person just wanting to say things, to say things rather than genuine feedback, maybe sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, personally, the best feedback I've received regarding my performance, as you said, I've often been focused on my strength and then opportunities to double down on it, or where I was lacking, missing opportunities based on what I could do. Because in a way, like I like what you said around, you know, you have weaknesses and you do. And unless, don't get me wrong, unless your weakness is actually a big gap of hard skills to do your job. But that's not really what we're talking about here. It's more around, we all have like things that come easy to us in some part of the design process and others that are a little bit harder. And, you know, you can really bring value where it feels more intuitive to you. And you should double down on that, because it probably won't feel as intuitive to someone else in your team. So you can pair up and, you know, do a really great job together. So I think that's why it's so important to just double down on your strength. So for me, the helpful feedback has been on there. And then I guess the feedback apply more to the particular projects. Then for me, anything is useful, because it's really there to just spot all the gaps that I've missed. And usually they are safe space, because there've been sessions designed to be a safe space. So that maybe is something to reflect on as well. It's like, has this session been designed to be safe? And if the answer is no, then the team has work to do around defining guidelines, who should be in the room, what's allowed, what's not allowed, and any sort of things.
Yeah, on the topic of safe space is quite broad, and there are lots of things you can do to try and foster a safe space in design critiques, especially. One thing that has really helped for me is when design reviews and design critiques have really established frames. Is frames the right word? I don't know, like ground rules for what the design critique is for. And one of those rules that really resonate with me and that creates a good environment for giving and receiving feedback is establishing that the designer who's presenting their work, when they receive feedback, it's up to the designer whether or not to act on that feedback. That the feedback is not meant to be dictations or kind of orders on what to change. The design feedback is not meant to be a list of amendments to make. And I think having that rule established quite explicitly is really important in creating a psychological safety in that room or Zoom room or whatever, to allow people to maybe give feedback more freely, because there isn't that expectation that the designer who's receiving the feedback has to act on all their feedback. So you're giving feedback from a place of trying to think of new ideas, think of new opportunities, try to open up the space a bit, ask things like, have you thought of this? Or what's the rationale behind this design decision? And try to like help everyone in the room, but especially the person presenting the design, to kind of help them think through their decisions and rationale a bit more as well. And also having that ground rule of, you know, the designer presenting the design is ultimately the person who decides what to do with the feedback. That rule might make it easier for the designer to take on all kinds of feedback as well. So again, it comes back to, for me, the importance of kind of context setting properly, the context for giving and receiving feedback. Like, I'm here to present my work. I want to take on your feedback to help me progress this work further, but there's no expectation that, you know, I'm going to act on every single feedback that comes in. And then on the flip side of that, bad feedback delivered poorly in those situations for me happens when someone gives feedback wanting that the designer or person presenting their work to actually make all the changes they are suggesting, in a bit of a micromanaging way, or in a bit of a dictating way. And that's really frustrating, because then they're giving feedback in a totally wrong arena if it's a design critique, and with totally wrong intentions.
Yeah, I feel like gone are the days where we've seen this really being applied in design critiques. At least, thankfully, I've not experienced it recently. I think in good design teams that are mature, this doesn't really happen. I think we did a past episode on the podcast where we talked about the difference between feedback and direction as well. I can't remember what episode it was, but there was a bit of a reflection as well around, yeah, feedback is there. It's super helpful, but it's optional, because sometimes it's not always applicable. But direction, though, is really a change that you have to bake in your project, because, well, let's say you've gone into one direction where you are going to break a design principle, for example, of the product, then you might get direction to go a different way. And that is, it's a direction, so it's more something that you really need to apply, because it's a bit more, I don't know, you have to take it into account.
Yeah, when it comes to receiving feedback, that's more direction. Well, then it's not feedback. When it comes to receiving direction, then the way I tend to handle it is if I receive requested changes that I disagree with, then I simply take the approach of, okay, I disagree with that because my opinion as a designer is XYZ. But if that's the direction you want us to go down, it might lead to unfortunate outcome XYZ, but just so you know, but okay, if that's what you want, then let's proceed with that. It's a totally different, those are totally valid contexts, by the way. That happens a lot, especially if you have, for example, external clients and or very senior stakeholders with a lot of decision-making power. Totally, totally valid contexts. But I don't know, for some reason, I find them less emotionally difficult to deal with, because then it's a matter of me just going, okay, well, if these are the potential consequences of what you're requesting, I disagree with them, I've given my professional opinion, but if we're going ahead, then fine. So yeah, it's maybe the lines are a bit clearer as well when it's direction versus feedback. Feedback is muddy sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And usually there's a hierarchical type of difference as well, where, as you said, it's a senior stakeholder telling you, yeah, we're not going to go down that direction, we need to change on this. And it's quite different from a fellow colleague giving you feedback, obviously. But yeah, as you said, sometimes it's muddy, and some people try to make their feedback sound like direction, but it happens less these days, I find.
All right, we've had a really nice conversation on how to handle feedback that is sometimes delivered poorly. It could be feedback that comes from a good place. It could also be feedback that comes from not a good place. Different types of settings for feedback. It could be performance review and design critiques and so on. It's been we all receive feedback all the time. It's part of our job, and it's just nice to air some thoughts on how to handle the different flavors of feedback that come in. If you like our podcast, you can we very much welcome you to follow us on your podcast platform and rate us if that's possible where you listen to podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter @DesignCafe, and our website is designcafe.com.